sarcophagus and found the body of a young Roman woman of about 15, so well preserved that it seemed alive. A crowd had gathered around and admired the girl's rosy skin, her half-open lips revealing very white teeth, her ears, her black lashes, dark, wide-open eyes, and beautiful hair done in a knot.
I am a girl who did no wrong. I am a woman who slept with my father, the Pope. I am a rock whose hands have appetites. I am a hunter who cannot kill. I am a mercenary with the French disease. I am a girl who lived among stones. I am a woman who poisoned my enemies. I am a rock and my brothers are rocks. I am a cleric who trafficked in curses. I am a goose boy, or am I a goose? I am a girl who did little wrong. I am a goose boy, or am I a boy? I am a farmer who stole something sacred. I am a monster who let the child go. I am a dog with an unlikely past. I am a hunter who followed the coffin. I am a girl who did something wrong. I am the other side of snow. I am a mirror. A mirror am I. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all? 1502.
The Roofs of Montefiore. From the arable river lands to the south, the approach to Montefiore appears a sequence of relaxed hills. In the late spring, when the puckers of red poppy blossom are scattered against the green of the season, it can look like so much washing, like mounds of Persian silk and Florentine brocade lightly tossed in heaps. Each successive rise takes on a new color, indefinably more fervent, an aspect of distance and time stained by the shadows of clouds, or bleached when the sun takes a certain position. But the traveler on foot, or in a hobble-wheeled peasant cart, or even on horseback, learns the truth of the terrain. The ascent is steeper than it looks from below, and the rutted track traverses in long switchbacks to accommodate for the severity of the grade and the cross-cutting ravines. So the trip takes many more hours than the view suggests. The red-tiled roofs of Montefiore come into sight, promisingly, and then they disappear again as hills loom up and forests close in. Often I have traveled the road to Montefiore in memory. Today, I travel it in true time, true dust, true air. When the track lends me height enough, I can glimpse the villa's red roofs above the ranks of poplars across the intervening valleys. But I can't tell if the house is peopled with my friends and my family, or with rogues who have murdered the servants in their beds. I can't tell if the walls below the roof line are scorched with smoke, or if the doors are marked with an ashy cross to suggest that plague has come to gnaw the living into their mortal rest, their last gritty blanket shoveled over their heads. But I have come out of one death, the one whose walls were glass. I have awakened into a second life dearer for being both unpromised and undeserved. Anyone who walks from her own grave relies on the unexpected. Anyone who walks from her own grave knows that death is more patient than Jesu Christo. Death can afford to wait. But now the track turns again, and my view momentarily spins back along the slopes I've climbed so far. My eye traces the foothills already gained, considers the alphabet of light that spells its unreadable words on the surface of the river. My eye also moves along the past, to my early misapprehensions committed to memory on this isolated outcropping. The eye is always caught by light, but shadows have more to say. Rest. Breathe in, breathe out. No one can harm you further than death could do.